Our first scripture reading concluded the gospel according to Luke, and our second scripture reading picks up in the first chapter of the book of Acts, which was written by the same author of the gospel of Luke. So the story picks up where it left off. Actually, it kind of retells it to remind the reader what they had just heard. Before I read, please pray with me. God, open your word to us on this day. Stir our hearts and our minds. Open our eyes and our ears that we might know your word for us on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, starting on page 118 in the New Testament of your pew Bibles. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While they were while staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. When he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This is Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven. This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. I'm going to keep reading for a few more verses. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to grab my water, sorry. When I was a child, 6 or 7 years old, I would ride around in the back of our Toyota Previa. Have you ever ridden in the back of a Toyota Previa? The seats tilted back all the way, bench seats. And so with the seat tilted back, looking up and out the back window, I would stare. I was looking for one thing, the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm serious. Anytime on a cloudy day when you had that beautiful thing happen, you know, where there would be a hole in the clouds and the sun would pour through and beams of light would shoot down, creating this perfect tube of light, I could hardly breathe when I saw that. That's exactly how I imagined Jesus coming again, descending from heaven, arms lifted in his all-white-robed glory. Looking back, I think the ascension is to blame for my fervor. In the Beginner's Bible, which I have, which is still a favorite among children, we use it with our youngest children in this congregation. Let me find it. There's this picture, and there's clouds, and there's light beams pouring through. And this is what I knew. In the Beginner's Bible, that's what the ascension looked like. Jesus riding up into the clouds, light beaming all around him, disciples looking, staring, and all. And I guess beyond that image, what really stuck with me were those two angels. Why do you stand looking up towards heaven? Jesus, who was taken up to heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go. As a child, this is what I understood. Jesus came from God, lived among us here on earth, and the whole world changed. And now, after a grand ride up through sunbeams, Jesus was again with God. And I also knew this. I could not wait for Jesus to come back. Side note, I even became convinced one day that it was the day. And so, with the blind spirituality and innocent ego of a child, because, you know, Christ is coming, so of course he's coming to my neighborhood, I gathered my favorite stuffed animals and took them along with our basset hound named Lucy to the front lawn where I pitched a tent. I laid back on my back, looking up, wondering, watching, waiting. And as much as I got wrong, I do think little Hannah was onto something in her desire to see Jesus, to be near to Jesus, to feel his presence like the warmth of surprise sunbeams. There was a longing there that I can't say I've felt in quite the same way as an adult. And as much as I wanted Jesus to come again, I think the disciples must have wanted it all the more. Just as I spent my time wandering, watching, and waiting, so too did the disciples spend their post-resurrection days wondering, watching, and waiting. When we read both accounts of the ascension from Luke and from Acts, we glimpse the disciples' thoughts leading up to Jesus' ascension. In those 40 days, the disciples are busy wondering, what could he be up to now? What does it all mean? Their wonder in Luke expresses itself in their attentive listening and learning as Jesus recounts to them the whole story, opening their minds to understand the scriptures from the law of Moses through the prophets and the Psalms to Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and now to this very moment, just before he will go and be with God again. Their wonder feeds their desire for knowledge. They see again the broad brushstrokes of God's work in the world from the beginning of time, forever liberating, transforming, redeeming, and saving. And in Acts, the disciples' wonder expresses itself in the form of a question. Lord, are you about to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus replies, it is not for you to know the things of God. God has authority of time and generations. Let God worry about that. But you will receive God's power from on high. The same Spirit that has been with me will be with you. And with the Holy Spirit, you will witness God's mercy in Jerusalem. You will witness to God's mercy in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and on into the very ends of the earth. I can hear the disciples vocalizing their wonder. And still today, to Jesus' words, we offer our own alongside the disciples as we wonder, God, are you about to restore creation? Are you going to make meaning of this suffering, God? Are you bringing forth your purposes? On this Memorial Day weekend, when we remember the lives lost for this country, meanwhile, God, the lives of children are taken in England and Egypt, and we wonder, how, God? Why, God? Where, God? And as the disciples pondered his words, he was lifted up before them. Before they could get their answers, a cloud took him out of their sight, and they were left watching. They had come to know and love Jesus, the physical, actual, human, and divine being. They depended on his teaching and leadership. He was their trusted friend and confidant. They had already faced the tragedy of losing him once, and they were not prepared to say goodbye again. They stand there, necks craned, watching. This is Jesus, though. He's the gotcha guy. He's always rewriting the script, doing the impossible, offering the surprise ending. The disciples have every reason to believe he'll be right back. What will he come up with this time? Oh, that Jesus, always up to something. Keep watching, you'll see. It may take 3 days, but keep watching. And Jesus was up to something. But in all of their wildest imaginations, they could not foresee the flames and tongues of next week's Pentecost celebration. But for now, they're just left watching. And still today, we are left watching, heads tilted back, arms lifted up, watching and praying, come, Lord Jesus, show yourself, draw near to us. We can't bring ourselves to watch this world that we've created, and so we look up with broken hearts and burdened shoulders, eyes set on heaven, watching. The angels speak, stop looking up. And with their angelic rebuke, the disciples remember Jesus' parting words. Go back to Jerusalem. Wait there. In Luke, the waiting looks like this. They worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Jerusalem is where it all began. In the late preacher Fred Craddock's words, Luke has come full circle. He began his gospel with a scene in Jerusalem, in the temple, at the hour of worship. Events in that opening scene generated anticipation in the reader. God is at work. Something marvelous is about to happen. And in Acts, the waiting looks a little different. They return to Jerusalem, but back to that upper room with which they have become so familiar, where they constantly devote themselves to God through prayer. Acts begins as Luke began. God's Spirit is moving in the world to bring something new. In Luke, it is the birth of the Messiah. In Acts, it is the birth of his church. But we're not quite there. That's next week. For now, we sit in this in-between week between Ascension and Pentecost. And with the disciples, we wait. With joy in worship, with constant prayer and devotion to God, we wait. And just like the disciples did, we huddle up with those nearest to us, they with their fellow disciples, men and women alike, and us with our church family, fellow followers of the way. Here's the thing about the waiting. In waiting, we learn to trust in God and God's promises. And that is perhaps the hardest thing to do, to trust. To let go of the worry, to open ourselves to God's Spirit moving among us. Young Hannah got so much wrong, but perhaps not as much as young adult Hannah gets wrong. One thing I knew then that I can't seem to find now was joy. Joy in the waiting. I was so happy on that lawn looking up. It didn't matter that Jesus never came. There is joy in the anticipation. Waiting is hope put into action. Waiting is faith, faith in God made known. And so my prayer is that this ascension might be the start of our own fervor. Let us set ourselves to the holy task of wondering, watching, and waiting. How long will we have to wait? Will it be days, weeks, or months? We don't know. Stay tuned. But this is sure. God is at work, and something marvelous is about to happen. Thanks be to God. Amen.